This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Still a red to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Oh my god, you're listening, vroom vroom bitches, you're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast, available on the whole internet. Wow, I thought there were others. No, apparently not. I'm the only one. I was right. And I'm Mono Agapian. I'm joined today by the chanteuse of the Latinx community, truly the pearl of Los Angeles's Chola princesses. It's the season 15 stunner, Selena Estitis.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know this was happening today. Selena.
Yes, so excited.
You're here. You're finally here. I mean, we've been dying to chat more because we were messaging a little bit over the course of season 15. A little bit.
They're a little strict with like media outlets and podcasts while your season is airing. So
of
that wasn't
course.
Allowed to before. So now
I know the whole year
free range. Yeah.
Free range. But we've been praising you on here for a whole damn year.
I would hear that sometimes and I feel so grateful because y'all understand the vibes. You know what I mean? So
yes.
It really felt nice to hear that y'all got what I was putting down.
Not to put down any other podcast because there are none other exist, but you know, I think we just have, you know, they have a POC perspective here. So like a lot of times it was very frustrating to watch you get dogged for doing great and then trying to understand why you're getting dogged.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, what's interesting when you go to Drag Race is what you realize is that like it's a chess game and you're not playing the game. You're one of the pieces on the board. So the whole point is to figure out, are you a pawn? Are you the queen? Are you the bishop? Like, I feel like that's very much the vibes. And I went in thinking I was going to be like a very like key player. And then you realize you're not, so you have to figure out, how am I going to survive on this chessboard as long as I can, you know? So I feel like that's basically what happened. And I don't think they expected me to bring anything of my, you know, what I brought either, too. So it was like an interesting game to play.
I do think you are one of the amazing, I mean, to your credit, you're one of those amazing queens that changes your own narrative while the season is happening, you know?
Yeah. Oh, very that. And you know, I'm from LA. Like, I'm Hollywood girl. Like, I've been in the industry for a minute. So it's very much, okay. You go with the flow and you make it work, you know?
Yeah. You're a professional that way. You're like, okay, I accept the things that are out of my control. Like, you know what I mean?
Correct.
As opposed to, you have
and
to accept.
I was a Chiona the whole time during it, but honey, we got somewhere.
I think you fucking slayed it. I would like to have seen you gone further, but you went very far. I mean,
yeah, I always have to think about that because in my mind, it feels so torturous and devastating, but I'm like, bitch, she got top six. It's cute.
Your looks. I mean, I love your looks. Even the controversial ones I love, like the Metallica look or the big gloves, which I see the big gloves behind you and I'm living.
They're right there. They've been traveling the world. They've been in Australia, the UK, all across Texas.
Can we talk about the clip of Bob the Drag Queen doing doing your iconic lip syncing, that iconic moment that became a moment.
Loved it.
And
I
you
loved
it. Laughing your ass off.
I loved it because Bob took like the heat off of it and it made it like exciting and funny to
yeah.
It made it laughable. You know what I mean? Where before was for me personally it felt so dire and like, I'm sorry. Like I didn't mean it. Like
yeah.
You know, because I'm like, oh, all of a sudden they hate me because of it. But
yeah.
Bob, I think Bob really helped turn the tables with that one for me. So it was really, really sickening.
It's really cute. Like, it was really cute to watch. And it made me love you even more just to watch you, like, when you're laughing so hard at something, you can't
well,
even
look. I
didn't
know she was going to do that in the mix. She was like, she called me and was like, you want to go viral tonight? I'm performing a showgirl. Should I wear your glove look and do Running Up the Hill? I was like, yeah, why not? And
yeah,
then she added in everything else. And I had no idea.
And then Bob, like, laughing at her own thing while you're laughing is just a pure joy.
No, it was a beautiful moment.
Speaking of Bob, let's talk really quickly about the Bob v. Mattymorphosis drama that's happening online. Mm. I'm living for both sides. This is a war where I want both sides to win.
No, literally. And I think Maddie stepped up to the plate, you know, because Bob went against Mistress and Mistress failed horribly at that little versus.
So you feel Mistress did not eat her up the way Maddie ate her up?
Oh, not at all.
Damn. Please,
Maddie gave bars.
I agree. Those were bars. I was shocked. I was like, when it started, I was like, here we go. And then I was like, these are some clever, the we are here joke. I was like, this is a really clever ass read.
And out the gate too. So it was perfect. I live.
And it happened over the course of like 12 hours. Like, how did this happen so quickly?
Well, there you go. There's Bob. Bob's really good at jumping on a moment, but like she doesn't ask for it herself. The girls summon her and she's there to respond. You know what I mean? So I love that Bob steps up to the plate every time.
I do love that. I am a Bob stan forever. Even when she's wrong, even when I think she's wrong, I'm like, work, bitch.
A lot of the time she is.
Yes. Yes. She does it so charismatically.
She really does. She's sickening.
Okay, wait. I want to talk more about your run on Drag Race because I just fucking loved. You were on season 15, which was an overly stuffed cast. A cast with too much talent. A cast like where you were just constantly shining amongst all-stars. Like it felt like an all-star season. Is there anything you look back on and you think, damn, I wish I could have done X differently?
I started out wanting to play the game really hard, right? Like, I don't know, when my entrance, when I was really coming for Sugar and Spice, like I was there to like, you know, help make some spicy TV. But then I realized like, oh, you know, like I said earlier, discovering what role you're playing. When I realized my role, it really shook me. So I was like, I wish I would have just had more fun being there. I did have fun. And like every day was such a beautiful, like, I can't believe this is happening. But the emotional aspect of it all really took a toll on me. So I think that was really, I wish I would have just had more fun.
Will you go back when they ask you to come back?
Yeah, I would love that. I feel like Rue and Michelle feel some sort of way about me for the Ross Matthews thing. So I want
you
an
think?
Opportunity. I feel like Michelle, maybe. Like, I think Rue forgets.
Okay.
I don't know. We were at the Emmys and I just felt like she ignored me the whole time and I was scared to talk to her. So I was like, I'm sorry I called your friend the F slur. But like, me and Ross are cool. Like, we hug every time we see each other. Like, I apologize to him right away. So like, you know, I just get a little nervous that maybe like they're holding a grudge, but I know RuPaul doesn't even remember.
You're allowed to pop off. I really do feel like it all happened so quickly. It all felt immediately comedic. It all felt like, girl, I have feelings. I have feelings.
It's not my proudest moment. It's not my proudest moment, but we move forward.
It's iconic.
Yes.
I think it's iconic.
In the fandom, sure. But like career-wise, yikes, you know?
When
you learn.
Let me tell you. Here's my question for you. During a hookup, do you ever say, eat my ass, faggot?
Oh my God, no. But I feel like sometimes guys want me to say it. Like guys... guys start eating me out and I feel like they're looking up at me so I can say it. And I'm like, girl, I'm not going to say it. Get to work.
Someone's eating you out and they're like, line.
No, literally. I've had like interesting hookups where guys like say stupid shit. So like, I don't know if it's that kind of podcast. Oh,
yes, it
God.
Is. Yes, it is. Oh. Give me your filth right now.
One time this boy came over and as he was leaving, he said, thanks for the S kitties.
No, ma'am.
I was like, here's the door. Another time this guy thought that I painted him. So mm-hmm. he was like, uh-oh, Selena S feces. And I was like, no.
What?
No,
ma'am. I hate that. I can't believe queer people and men don't know that you don't want to talk about Drag Race when you're in the steam room, girl.
Oh, my God. It's,
no.
It's bold. I applaud the boldness of it all.
Yes. Oh, my God. Definitely been there. Had some funny experiences. I love it, Selena. Can we talk about, I need to also talk about your backpack. Like when you did the Drag Race Fashion Week look, the backpack thing.
Yes,
that was such a fucking reveal. Serve. Yes. And then it was again one of those iconic moments where I think the fans came to your defense saying,
yeah,
this is awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that felt really nice because, like, again, I knew in my mind that it was not the worst look of the night. So I know why I was in the bottom for XYZ, but like to hear the fandom rally against it was like, oh, good, I'm not delusional and I'm not like, you know, crazy. So felt really nice. And they still to this day, even someone like Dawn's design look from the first design challenge in the mm-hmm. second episode, whatever, third episode, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, this looks like Selena's thing and that she wasn't in the bottom. So I was like, yeah, exactly.
I loved it. I also just want to say your reunion and finale. Look, your finale, the cake.
Oh.
I think you won the finale for me. I said it on this podcast. I'll say it again. Everyone looked great, but I felt like you really did something that's never been done before with that cake slice.
Thank you. My entrance look and the cake dress, the quinceañera dress, were always two things I knew I was always going to do if I ever got on Drag Race. Like, those mm-hmm. were the first. I always knew my entrance was going to be chola with the plaid, and I always knew my finale was going to be the quinceañera dress with the cake. Like, that was always been on my mind for years. So I'm yeah. so happy I got to make it happen.
I live. So before we start talking about season 16, I always like to ask the girls this. What advice would you give to the season 17 girls? The girls that are gonna film this summer, what advice do you give to them?
My advice is, which I wish someone would have told me. You know, I asked Monet for advice before I left, and all she said was, mm-hmm. girl, just be yourself. And I was like, okay. And myself was crying and this and that and fucking going through it. And, you know, but I wish someone would have told me, like, when you discover what chess piece you are, lean into it and own it. Like, don't go against it. The more you rock against the edit or, you know, whatever your role is on the show, it's not good for you. So just lean into whatever it is. And Derek Barry actually gave me that advice. I did a show with Derek and she was like, you know, they wanted me to be the dumb blonde. So I just leaned into it. And then the Stonewall line, you know what I mean? Like, that's how these little iconic moments, because I just leaned into the character they chose for me in a way. And I was like, oh, that's interesting to think about. I had to just leaned into being in the bottom and like, oh, I can't sew, huh? You know,
well,
like,
that makes sense. Though, I mean, Derek Barry has two husbands, so she's always leaning into being the bottom. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh. Bury that. I live.
No, but I'm with you. It is good advice for life and bottoming. If you lean in. Eventually it will feel lovely.
It will feel so good. And I mean, I think it's just about not going against, you know, what they're trying to create, because they've been doing this for a long time. So just lean in and trust the process, no matter how ugly it may feel. Just for the season 17 girls, lean into it, bitch.
Lean in. I think that's really good advice. They're making a TV show. You're going to have a platform afterwards. And then you can do whatever the hell you want to with that platform. But there's only so much you can do to, while you're on the show, there's only so much you can do. You can do your damnedest, but you can't be shocked when things don't go how you planned.
Yeah, because it's not your game, it's their game. So
period.
You're invited to their game, and that in itself is the win and the honor. So
yeah.
It's really cool because, like, right now, right now is very much, they always say like the race begins after the show. And I really feel that. Like, I truly feel like, oh, it's a race to stay relevant, to be in the game, to like be booked. It's not like before. You're not like a local girl.
I know. Tell me about Boots. Did Boots drop yet?
No. When does this come out?
Monday. So really soon.
Oh, okay. So this Friday, the 16th, my new single Boots comes out. And then I announced that I have an EP coming out in March. So
hell yeah.
I've been working on some music. My EP is called Homegirl. It's
love it.
4 tracks, and Boots is the first single. And I'm very excited. I took a very iconic Latina figure in history, and that's the whole, I did a little twist on it in my video. And that's
cute.
The whole, I'm very excited for people to see it.
I'm so pumped. I mean, we're people in the Latinx and Latino community, I feel like, are deeply, deeply thankful for the way you've like elevated, you know, depictions and portrayals and even like taken stereotypes and then flip them on their head. I feel like you have such a strong brand.
Oh, thank you. It's weird because I got a lot of hate from a lot of Latinos too. Mm. I mean, I always look at both sides. I'm a Libra, so I have to like balance the scale.
Sure.
But like, I always hear this, and like, especially at Precinct or downtown LA, like there's so many people who come out and they're like, thank you for the representation. Thank you for the representation. On the flip side, there's a lot of people who are like, she doesn't represent us. She's XYZ. Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh my God. But I think the beautiful thing about Latinx people is that we are such a diverse melting pot of experiences. Like, not one person has the same experience, you know.
Yeah.
Whether you're first generation, second generation, you've moved here when you were little, like everyone has their own experience as a Latino.
Yeah, you can
and
hate
my
me.
My experience is my experience, so maybe
yes.
It's not authentic to your experience, but whatever I showed on the show is exactly how I've experienced Latinoness within my life, and there's nothing to be ashamed about that. Where there's people who try to make me feel inauthentic or like, you know what I mean, XYZ. So that was really hard to step into when I started, you know, when the Meet the Queens came out and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just part of being in the limelight, and it's something that I had to learn how to navigate. But I was very proud of what I represented.
You say it perfectly. Look, you can hate, you don't have to like it. Not everyone's gonna like it. That's okay. That's cute. And that's just entertainment, period. You're being your best to be authentically you, and some people aren't gonna like it. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
That
and
same shit. Yeah. Go.
I did a tour with Jessica Wilde in Australia like 2 weeks ago. And I love her so much. She just
love
so
her deeply
and so humble. And I was talking to her because I was like, you know, what advice do you have for all stars? And she's like, well, you know what I did was, she's like, I just went and I just had fun. I didn't care about, you know, I didn't put the weight of representing Puerto Rico on my shoulders. And I think that's kind of something I would change for all stars is I wouldn't put the weight of like trying to represent my Latinx experience on Drag Race. Cause obviously, like, you know, in a way it didn't really help me on the show. It helped me in life. And like people, I got to really have that representation. But as far as like, you know, it kind of, not that it, I don't want to say it hindered me, but like, it's not what the judges are looking for. You know what I mean?
You make an interesting point that queens of color, like, there's an interesting...
There's a balance.
It's like
a nice balance.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, as they say. It's like,
oh,
they
yes,
want to see
that.
Your culture, but then they want to see you be more than that. And then, but then they also are mad when you don't represent your culture. It's frustrating because, you know, white cis, you know, cis queens, like they don't have
They don't have no culture to represent. So they could just be an
right.
elf and people live for it.
Right. Because white cis queens remind us of models, because modeling is based on European beauty standards and our entire culture is brainwashed by that. So it's like,
yeah,
it's very true.
It's plain Jane. It's a very deep, deep, deep situation that sometimes is too much to dive into. So we just accept it for what it is.
It's happening on this season because they're losing their mind over Plain Jane, and we'll talk about it.
Mind you, there's like 1,700 Latinas on this season too. You know what I mean? And they're also different, which I also love to point out. Like,
yes,
like again, not one Latino's experience is the same. All these girls have so many different styles of drag, different point of views, and they're all Latinos. So it's like very cool to see the representation in that way as well.
How is it watching this season after you did the show? Weird, fun, other?
I think it made me like Drag Race again because I'm not the point of view or I'm not the like subject, you know? So I'm like, oh, I get to have fun. But I also, on the other hand, feel for the girls because I understand every emotion that's going on. I get how the fans are reacting to each individual queen. Like I see the parallels and the similarities and the way that they hate on one girl or don't give any girl their flowers. Like I feel for the girls in that way. But it's just part of the game that like you don't understand unless you've been there.
It's just the machine itself. So we just said bye to a mandatory meeting. Sad, frustrating.
Bye, Amanda. I feel like
I really enjoyed her.
Amanda won that lip sync.
She did, didn't she?
I feel like they knew it was going to be a design challenge next. So they would rather keep Q to really slay the next challenge than to keep Amanda. It was giving very that.
They were excited about the Q of it all. And Q had very exciting runways, more traditionally exciting runways. But I'll just stand by and say that the nest egg thing was a fun idea. And can't drag be fun and weird sometimes?
It can, but not for Drag Race, I feel, unless you're, I don't know, because Amanda's white and skinny, so they're validates my point. But, you know, I have a YouTube series that I started called Tit or Quit.
I love that.
It's called Tit or Quit, The Road to the Golden Boot. Since I won the Golden Boot my season for the street lamp look, I'm on a search and a hunt to see who's going to get the Golden Boot for this season.
Ooh, it's a contender. So,
every week I do a little poll on my Instagram story and then I make a little YouTube video, and Amanda's nest look is probably going to win the Golden Boot so far from any of the looks this season. So
it's exciting. And that's what I love about it. I will remember it. I will forget a lot of these looks, but I will remember that.
1,000%. It's so exciting.
It's just wild. It's just wild because some of the girls, they just, you know how it is. Sometimes one look gets a pass and other looks don't. And I'm like, at least you tried something exciting. Some of the looks were so like middle of the road and they got a pass, which I'm like, but shouldn't you reward like a big weird risk? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just that's drag, you know, so whatever. It is what it is.
It is. Okay, we're going to talk about the rest of this episode, but first... Silence, Selena. I feel like taking a break.
Oh.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, do you hear that? Do you hear that hot breath coming off of my chest? Because I got a lot of things to say. I swallow some things and no, stop it. That's not funny. Okay. Save it for the main stage of Drag Race. I swallow a lot of things like stress and like when people are being rude to me and when like I can just like navigate. That's kind of one of my issues as a person. Like I navigate issues by just swallowing it all, taking it in and being the quote unquote bigger person. Guess what? Getting things bottled up is not good for you. It affects you negatively because mama, the body keeps the score. Ting, ting, okay? Your body is that NFL scoreboard, honey. And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. So why not work through whatever's weighing you down with the help of BetterHelp? I benefited so much from therapy and I cannot express enough how important it is to have a regular practice of sharing your feelings. BetterHelp makes it so much easier, you know, because they have a broad range of therapists all over the world. You can conveniently connect with them on chat, on video, on text. I think you should really think about giving BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Honey, don't swallow that. Stop it. Don't you dare swallow that. You need to get that off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. Ooh, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Bring back my break. We're back. We're talking about this episode. We've got some infighting happening from the past episode. What do you think of the plain Jane of it all, right? Plain Jane trying to turn over a new leaf / plain Jane will never turn over a new leaf.
I live. It's like, I know a lot of the fans hate her, but she's doing what you need to do to stay in the game. If that's one thing I learned on my season was watching how Lux and Mistress moved on the show. Mm-hmm. Plain Jane is doing the same exact thing. And I don't know if you remember, but Lux and Mistress got to the final four.
They got very far.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Plain Jane gets really far because she's the reason why there's storylines happening. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying again. It's like you come in and figure out your chess piece and she's playing the role of the knight, and she's going left and right and making all these little digs, and it's going to help her at the end. So it's more than just drag. It's more than talent. It's more than drag. You know, she's giving us good TV.
Yeah, absolutely. She is. I mean, I have complicated feelings. I like that she's on the season because there is a lot of peace on the season. My salty advice is I think she's doing the right thing. I wish some of her reads were funnier. But because it could be like a funny read can really change the color of it, where it's just like if it's just a little funny or a little something, it makes it feel a little bit more lively, as a viewer.
Less harsh. It gives very much like a queen who does drag but doesn't hang around a lot of drag queens. Like, she's being sassy the way she thinks she's supposed to be sassy, but it's not coming across. Like, I think Mistress is a great example of someone who's shady and so sassy, but in a very fun way. Like, she makes it because she's, you know, she has a little quirk and she, and like, it's fun.
She's the best at it. She's fantastic at it.
She is a professional gaslighter. It's so good.
she does it with a twinkle in her eye. Even when she's saying the meanest, craziest thing, you're like, oh, she's the character.
Yeah, because she's being so unserious. And I feel like that's what Plain thinks she's doing, you know? But it's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
So we got a mini. Oh, go ahead.
I feel like she's learning. You know, I feel like we're kind of watching her learn how to navigate her shadiness. So that's also an interesting thing to watch as well.
I live. I don't know if I would say I live for this, but Giotto's here. And they tricked these girls into salsa dancing. What'd you think?
I live. It's interesting because, like, did they provide all these outfits, or did they tell them to have an outfit for this ready to go and it's for this mini challenge? Because sometimes they'll give us a list of outfits and we don't use some of them, or some of the times they're for mini challenges. And we're like, oh, I just spent this much money for a fucking mini challenge for Quick Track. So
you know which one it is. You know that they said, oh, just kidding, this thing that you probably spent a ton of money on is a Quick Drag look. Haha, lol.
Yeah, because like some of, there was a rack of like flamenco clothes that they supplied, I saw. So,
oh, okay.
I'm interested to know if like were they asked to do that, or were these all given to them? So, because some of them look more great than others, like some of their outfits.
Yes.
But I think it's so sickening that they're doing this. This is so such a fun challenge. And I will say, I was watching this. It reminded me of my season when we did the little Vogue ball, when we all had to do Quick Drag and do the. That was probably the most fun on set that I had being at Drag Race, because RuPaul was like, he just loves to see us be idiots, and then he starts being an idiot with us, and it's like the best. It's so fun because Rue's like having a good time with you, and it's not about the competition in that moment. Rue's just having a fun. We're getting to dance with RuPaul, like when Rue's dancing in the end with Charo. It reminded me of that, and it's like it's such a good time.
It looked fun. It looked playful. It looked dumb. I agree. I was so happy Rue danced as well, because we love Rue because she's not above. She's not above all of it. She's like, yes, I will dance on camera and look like a moron.
She created a whole empire where she just gets to laugh. You know what I mean? Like, she gets paid to go and be... Someone has to make her laugh. Like, that's the whole point of Drag Race, is make RuPaul laugh.
The whole point.
Burger finger, like...
Right.
She cracked the code.
Burger finger apparently is the best comedy this season has to offer.
Brew is so tickled by that. It's just so funny.
Really tickled. So this week's challenge. Any other shout outs to these flamenco salsa moments?
Charo is just so hilarious. I live for her.
God, she looks the same and good.
She's not aging. It's so wild.
It's wild. I want her doctor's number immediately. She's so gorgeous.
Have you seen her son? Her son is so hot.
No, I haven't.
Oh my goddess.
Fuck
her son
me.
Is delicious. Yeah.
Fuck. So let's get into this. We have one of the sillier challenges I can remember in recent history. Welcome to the Dollhouse, where you have to model a doll and yourself in a new look you make on the spot. Just from the face of this, what do you think? Let's pretend this is a challenge on your season. What is the first thing you think when they tell you this is the challenge?
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting because it's all branding, and like a lot of queens don't know what their brand is, you know. And I have a very clear point of view and brand, so it's I could go anywhere with mine, you know, and it'll be true to me. Where I think where a lot of girls struggle is like knowing what their brand is. So, you know, RuPaul even said this is a branding challenge, so you have to really understand your brand and your point of view. And I feel like a lot of girls, especially girls who start drag because of a Drag Race, like they don't necessarily have that. They just want to be on Drag Race. And I think that really starts to show sometimes. I think also too, like there's a lot of emphasis on brand and branding for drag queens, but you know, I would say probably like 80% of drag queens out in the world don't necessarily have a brand. They're just doing drag to go perform and make their little coin and, you know, to feel their fantasy. I wouldn't say a lot of drag queens have the like, you know, the insight to think past, oh, having a brand or like a career that is, you know, going to hold them throughout their lifetime. Like, I just don't think that's a lot of drag queens' point of view. Maybe they want to start drag because they want to go on Drag Race. But like, I think it takes a particular queen who is really like in tune with who they are to have a very clear brand and to know what that is already off the bat.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I have to say, like, big picture, I wanted more branding from most of the queens, like, because I was just like, go for it. Be dumb. Have fun.
Yeah, like I would say, like, Dawn has a very clear point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, who else? I would say...
Even Plain, even though I was like, aren't you talking about being Russian all the time? Can you give me?
Yeah.
I don't know. But drag is clean as fuck. It's interesting. Yeah, I wanted more branding because when the looks came down, you know, when I saw all the looks together, most of them, I was like, they just all look like girls, kind of. You just look like girls.
Exactly. You know, and I love Safira that she's trying to make the opera like her brand. So like there's that, like there's something there for that. But like, you know, I look at like even Maya, like she has her flips, right? She didn't really sell that on the runway, but it was like, there is a brand there that she can like monopolize on, you know. Okay, there's Morphine with her BBL, like she's a BBL girl, you know. So like there's so much more, that there's so much further that it can go, but they have a good start. Whereas opposed to like, you know, even Plasma, she's very clear. The musical theater, old white lady.
Old Hollywood, old white lady. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I feel like they could have, it maybe was challenging, but I do think, and I'm going to speak from the producer point of view, this challenge is a perfect trick. Because, you know, just like when they do the makeover challenge, it's a perfect trick because they can always be like, you didn't look enough like your doll. Or you looked too much like your doll. Or we like the way your doll looked better. Or like there's just so many ways you can fail the challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's very suspicious. I mean, after being there, they can make whatever they want happen.
Yes.
Trust me. So that's never a problem for them. But it's very that. It's very, they pick and choose when they want to like implement an idea or not for the critique, right? Yeah.
So in the workroom, we have some fun drama. We have, of course, no one's buying Nymphia's anxiety. The other really beautiful story, of course, is, you know, Q talking about her family. And that was really, really touching and beautiful just to hear about Q's backstory. And
It made me like Q a little more because I was starting to be so over her because I don't think she's a strong performer. But to hear that she has theater background, I'm like, oh, you are trained.
Tell me what you really think. Fuck. Yeah.
But I really related to her story too. Like, you know, growing up with not a lot of money and just like struggling in high school and finding solace in theater. Like, I really related to her.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah, it was a beautiful story. I love that her mom was like emotional for her getting on Drag Race.
Oh,
I
mean, that just made me cry.
Oh my God, just like not like going to the theater during high school, like so people wouldn't know you weren't eating during lunch. That fucked me up. I was like, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was very sweet. And you can tell, I feel like Q is just such an introvert and like, you know what I mean? Like she's just like a talented little introvert who makes her outfits at home. And I feel for her. I understand. I get I like that we got that insight for her.
It was cute. And we've had so much Q story these first six episodes. My God. It's like, I love Q, but I'm also like, can we talk to the other girls? Can we meet the other girls? I don't even know what Dawn's vibe is that much because I've only spoken to Q. I'm losing, I'm winning, I'm not winning for six episodes. It's a lot.
Yeah, 1000%.
Geneva does the leg hair TikTok thing. Do you have anything to say about the leg hair TikTok thing?
I live. I love that she discovered that. That's fantastic. I hate looking at it.
That is so, Selena, that is so perfectly put. I don't want to look at it. I'm so happy for you. Don't you dare put that in my face ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's the very much the Amethyst and Robin storyline, right? Where they're trying to push, they dated. Oh, talk about the leg hair. Talk about the leg hair. It's like, girl, the leg hair is so irrelevant. Like, can we talk about my drag? You know, or can I talk about something important? It's giving very that.
Okay, so now we're at the Plain Jane story moment. Plain Jane's father threw away her toys, her dolls.
Yeah. It explains why Jane's such a bitch. She, you know, daddy didn't love her, so it makes so much sense.
Daddy didn't love her. It does make sense. No, and she says, all Russians are mean.
She didn't say that.
She said all Russians are mean. She said all Russians are mean, and that's a fact. I thought this was interesting. I'm still a little, speaking of Siberia, I am icy on Plain Jane. I'm not, I think her drag is fantastic, but
that's the hard part. It's like, we want to hate her, but her drag's really good. So it's hard to like, if her drag was horrible, we could be like, fuck you, go home. But she's actually serving. So
I will say this, they are eating her up. Watching the judges cackle like hyenas when she burps.
Oh my God, yes.
It's scary. It's scary to me.
No, I noticed that. So this is the thing. Literally, Michelle and Rue only ever see you on the main stage. They don't get to talk to you. They don't know what's going on in the workroom. So we see Plain Jane being an evil cunt like in the workroom to everyone. And it makes us put a sour taste in our mouth. But all the judges are experiencing is her drag on the runway, which is, you know, has been great, polished, funny, exciting to watch and gorgeous to look at. So they're not hating on her the way the audience is hating on her. So I noticed that the way that Rue is laughing so hard for Plain and like comes every time she steps on stage, like
she really
she squirts, honey. She squirts all the way across.
She is streaming all over La Roche's human hair.
Yes. So like I was kind of like taken back when I noticed how much Rue was like laughing at her, and I was like, what?
It scared me.
It's because they're not getting the full story in the workroom. They have no idea that she's being a complete asshole off camera. So
yeah,
or they do. And it's like they know that's making good TV, so they're like, thank you, bitch, for making good TV for us. We're gonna praise you some more.
Oh my God. Gives her that. Last week when Rue said something like, it was so pointed. It was so funny when it was like, literally Rue looks at Amanda and is like, and says like, Amanda, how come you didn't look as good as, you know, Plain Jane, who's on your girl group? I'm like, you're going to tell me the producers didn't plant that right in her ear. Is that what you're going to tell me today?
Yeah.
Today?
Why would Rue say that? Yeah, exactly.
Rue does look stunning in this amber, lime green, dark marine fantasy. What'd you think?
People on Twitter were like, oh, she had to make sure she looked good for La Roche. She couldn't look well. That she wore a wig a couple episodes ago that was like, oh mama, what are you wearing?
It was funny. The windblown one. Yeah, that was funny.
But she looks really good tonight.
She looks stunning.
She's wearing the gold Sasha heel. Like pleaser heels that I live for.
Ooh, yes.
RuPaul loves those heels.
She loves them. She's always talks about how you put them on and then you take a hot blow dryer to shrink them onto your foot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's a trick. T.S. Madison looks good. La Roche looks good. And they're both here to aggravate and incite the girls.
I don't think it's aggravating. I think it's real. You know,
I feel like
sometimes other judges are just there to do their job, where these people actually understand from the streets, from a street level, you know, what we're doing, what drag is. So their advice and their critiques are very much coming from a place of they know what they're talking about.
I definitely enjoyed La Roche's, we'll get there. Some of his critiques were helpful. Not the one where he said, your doll has RuPaul's legs and you have Danny DeVito's. Because that's not a critique. That's an attack.
That's the thing too. La Roche knows how to make good TV. He's shady. Yeah. You know what I mean? He was on Legendary. Yeah. So Baldwin is shady. So I live. It's good TV at the end of the day.
It was good TV. Let's talk about, so listen, hear me out. On this podcast, we also are the only Drag Race podcast. And if we like a look, we chirp it.
Okay.
If we don't like it, we burp it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we're going to look at these looks and you're going to tell me if it's a chirp or a burp. Okay, Diva?
Okay.
Okay, we got Tsunami giving pants, giving pink silk top, giving aquamarine belt. What'd you think?
It's a baby burp.
It is suspicious.
I think, because the pants are tailored nice, but the top is a little interesting. And like, it gives very much, she doesn't know how to sew, but she didn't just make a two-piece, you know, which is on design challenges. I hate when girls just make a top and a skirt and like, oh, they're safe. At least she really tried to make something interesting. And like, it does, like, if it were made correctly, it'd probably be very high fashion. So I live.
Yeah, I am also going to give it a burp. I get it. But it's unfortunate the doll looks a little better than she does, which, you know, that's tough. She's gorgeous, but I have to burp it.
Yeah, maybe burp.
Yes. Next, Safira Cristal. Ooh, okay. I have opinions of this. I don't think this is that bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, it's it's fine. I don't think it's horrible.
No, and it's certainly not in the bottom three or four, so I don't know why she used that immunity potion.
But again, there's things that go on off stage. A producer will say something in someone's ear or XYZ. You see how cameras are moving. You never know. So maybe she was feeling a little paranoid in that moment, you know?
Maybe it probably is smart. I mean, I bet production wanted her to use the potion because it's just not fun TV for us to watch you hold on to your potion for six episodes.
Yeah, you never know what's being told to them off stage. Like, there's so much stuff that goes on, that goes down, and you hear whispers or you see the eyes shifting. So I can understand that's probably what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that these... I actually have a hot button question for you. But first, silence. I feel like taking a break.
Oh,
I'm going to edge you a little bit longer.
Okay.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Bring back my break. Oh, we're on the edge of glory. Do you think these girls made these dolls? Or production?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, did the girls have to make these dolls or did production make these dolls? Was my question.
No, they 1000% made them themselves. And whatever they're handed in, that's what they made. I believe that.
Okay, good to know. I was on the fence because I was like, this just feels so crazy to have to do both. And then you change your necklace and then you have to go change the necklace on the doll, et cetera, vice versa.
Yeah. But I don't think the production would touch that.
I just want to say I love Safira so much. Her narration was the best in the episode. I think she's being slept on by the fans. Probably because she's black and the fans are racist.
Maybe.
She's so good.
I say there's this, it's kind of like the Sasha Colby effect where it's just you're so good at everything you do that you kind of fade, not that she faded into the background because every time she stepped on the runway was sickening, but it's like there's not much storyline happening. You're not really being involved in the workroom too much in conversations because you're just sickening and you do your thing and like you serve. So we just expect that from you. You know,
yeah.
I think it's kind of, that's kind of like the role that she fell into.
Yeah.
We trust her. We trust her enough to count that she's not going to flop and that she's going to be fine because she's so good.
You're right. I just want more flowers for her because, but you're right. Like, she's so good. She's clearly at the end. And now we're kind of in that, like you said, the Colby of it all. We're in.
Yeah.
The in between where it's like, okay, what's going to happen in the meantime?
Which also maybe why she did her potion. It gave her some screen time. It gave her a little bit of a storyline all of a sudden. Cause I remember on my season, there was a girl who was like doing fine and doing great. She actually was doing amazing. And then they're like, if you don't talk about some trauma that happened to you, you're probably going to get sent home soon.
Woo!
And the girl came to us and was like, they're telling me I'm going to go home if I don't talk about trauma, but I don't have trauma. And we're like,
fuck.
You can't think of anything. And they're like, she's like, well, my grandma died when I was 13. They're like, bitch, talk about that. And so like, that's very much, you know, they're playing their game. Like I said, so if you don't create something to talk about that gives some storyline, honey, you're in the running to go home. So it's probably, you know, what happened.
My gosh. Sugar and spice and all things nice. I'm living. How was it being on the season with Sasha Colby? Like, obviously she's just wonderful and magnanimous. What was it? was it a treat? Was it spooky? What was the vibes there?
Well, I didn't know Sasha Colby as this like legendary icon from Continental. I knew her as after COVID, we were doing brunch together. And like that, I didn't know. I knew she was like, did Continental, but I didn't know what a big deal that was. So mm-hmm. I just know her as like my sister from brunch. Bitch, we're out here hustling, making money, and like we're those girls that they call and put at the end of the lineup, you know, like me and Sasha were those girls. Mm-hmm. So that's how I know Sasha. So to be there was just to have like my big sister, you know, on the show with me. So that's how it felt for me. It was beautiful. I didn't see it as a competition. I didn't see her as anything. Like I always knew she was going to go far because she's just that girl. Mm-hmm. So I never thought anything of it when we were there for me personally.
Work. Do you chirp or burp Safira's look?
Oh, it's a soft chirp.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty cute.
It's well made. I like that the lining stopped where it stopped. It looked fine.
Yeah, it was sexy. Yeah, and I love her face. Oh my God, her eyes are beautiful and funny. Plasma giving her passenger on the Pacific, as she calls it. What'd you think?
She's fine. There's always the white musical theater gay, and like, you know what I mean? Rue hates them. I love how much Rue hates them.
I know. Well, she loves Jinx and then no one else.
Did you see when Rue said something to Plasma? Plasma's like, well, it's usually Barbra Streisand makeup. And Rue was like, okay, thank you. I just love it. I live that Rue can't stand them, but she lives for them, but hates them at the same time.
I know. I wish the ribbon draping, I know it's easier said than done, but if that ribbon was dramatically larger, I think it could have made everything look more dramatic.
Oh, if it had flown in the wind as she walked, it would have been cunt. But she's using like... Yeah, it's just a heavy fabric. Yes.
Gonna have to burp it. But it's not terrible, but I am gonna burp it.
Yeah, it's not horrible. I'm so such a Libra. Like, it's fine.
Plain Jane, Aquatic Edition, giving skater bathing suit in her own words. What'd you think?
She looks amazing. I was not expecting this. When I saw the doll, I was like, wait, this is kind of sickening. Because dolls give that, right? Dolls give this kind of look with the flirty flounce of the tulle and the bedazzlement of it all. Like the doll looks so good. So when she came out, I was like, oh, she looks great. I wasn't too crazy about the little white train on the back. It just looked like an afterthought that she attached to it.
Yeah, but I agree.
I thought she looked great. I was not expecting this from her.
It was cute. I like the hair. I'm still feeling the same way I've always felt, which I think she's really talented, but it's hard to root for her right now, or that's how I'm feeling. I could be wrong. I guess it's a light chirp for me.
Yeah. Light chirp.
Nymphia Wynn giving spring banana. I love this so much. I love this.
Everyone loved it. I wish the doll, because the doll was all yellow, right? And she had the pink bow.
That's true.
I don't know why that disturbed me so much. I was like, wait.
Her doll also had a hair detail there. Do you see that like hair detail?
Oh, yeah, like the little feather thing in the hair, which I think would have put her look over the top, which was fine. I don't know. I thought this was okay. I saw where she was going because it gives that very like classic idea of those fashion dolls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those fashion Barbies back, like those vintage ones, yes. They gave very that, which I loved because it was like, oh, that's exactly what this is giving. But
like those old Christmas Barbies from the 90s.
Yes, very that. But something about her outfit didn't like really, something about it wasn't giving for me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the bow just seemed very, I don't know. No, she looks good. I don't know.
You listen to your heart. There's no wrong answer. I'm chirping it. I bought the bow. It gave me like, it also gave me like 90s
Asian
woman who's married to the prime minister of Indonesia. I loved it.
I saw everyone on Twitter was outraged because she wasn't in the top and she was safe for this. And I was like, well, I get it. I mean, it's great. But I didn't think it was like, oh my God, it wasn't cute, you know?
I would have put her, well, I would have put her in the top, but I get it. I get it. I would have put her in the top, but I also think her story is so like, obviously she's in the top that they're trying to hide her in the edit a little bit.
Yeah, 1000%. Yeah, like she's another example of branding that's just like so good. She knows her brand.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
We got Morphine Love Dion giving Miami bimbo. What'd you think?
I hated the hair on the doll. Like, why is the hair so crazy? I thought she was going to come out with a giant wig like that. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, she looks better than the doll. Work.
I was surprised no one did like an ugly, funny doll. Like Weird Barbie. Why? If I was there, I would have done Weird Barbie. You know what I mean? Or those vibes. That's I don't know, right?
That's funny. But it's a risk. It's a risk. Sold that? Yeah.
Because they could say how iconic and irreverent, or they could say like, no girl would pick up this doll, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you think, Morphine? She's missing a tooth. She's giving Miami, but she's trying to be a little bit... She's trying to give a little... She's trying to give her brand and also surprise them in a sense.
She gave them that. So I saw another tweet that was like, not them telling Morphine and Dawn to go against their brand in the next episode's a branding challenge. So
that's a trick.
I thought she sold the little tooth gag nicely. It wasn't like overly put... She wasn't pushing too hard for it. So I thought it was cute. I didn't think she needed it, but like I gave the judges what they wanted, you know, to be a little different. But I thought she looked fine. I think this very Versace tease, like the J-Lo dress, it was giving very that.
I'm going to be unfair and burp it, but it's not bad. Like she looks pretty, but it is straps of it's pieces of fabric. Yeah.
It looks like she just like pulled fabric across and tied knots to like make it work. Yeah, it does.
And it's not lined. And then she yelled at Maya for not lining, but this isn't lined. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to keep going because I'm being mean. That. Maya Iman LePage, queen of flips. Her doll looks so crazy. This looks so silly. What? Help me. Diagnose this. Help me. Help me, Selena.
Were the other girls' dolls padded? Were the dolls padded? Because they made such a big deal about her doll not being padded. Like, I was like, that's what you're worried about. It was just kind of weird to me. But I was like, I would have wanted more titties in the doll to match her titties that she wore.
Yeah, again, it's the classic trick of any makeover challenge. They get to say, you look too much like your family member. You look nothing like your family member. We liked how they looked coordinated. We didn't like it's a trick, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I mean, the bodysuit's well made. Like her bodysuit looks good. I agree with Rue. Like it's not lined. It's not hemmed. She just took a piece of fabric and like taped it to the top of her shoulders.
Right.
So that's no bueno. But like, I don't know. I also don't like this hair too much. I feel like it's just kind of in the way. I don't know. Especially during her lip sync. I was like, if she didn't have that big ass hair, she probably went harder on the lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a burp, I guess.
I am going to burp this. It's not hideous, but it's just not super memorable.
The bodysuit's well made, but then it's just the bodysuit. So
yeah.
I always think back to Georges's win on her ball challenge.
How hilarious. She
won with that little like swimsuit. I'm like,
hilarious.
If y'all are giving Georges a win for that, then like nothing matters here. Like really, they pick and choose whatever they want to happen at the end of the day.
And that is the night the lights went out at Drag Race. That was just agitation. That was a really silly time.
But Megami looks great. I didn't realize, like, watching it, I'm like, this is a design challenge. Like, I can't believe she made that. It looks like it looks like an actual.
It's stunning. I keep counting her out and she keeps shutting me up.
Every time everyone sleeps on Megami, like, I always say this, like, she gives, there's something about her that's a little cringe. Like, I think it's the way she walks or sometimes, like, the way she sells stuff on the runway is a little cringy, but she gives. Her outfits are always, like, if her outfits were on a skinny girl, we would all gag and come over it. But because she's a little thicker and she's a little, like, harder on the eyes.
That's period. That's the body phobia, the bias towards a tiny body on these runways is so awful.
Yeah, but again, I think that's just like beauty standards, right? Like you were saying before, like your beauty standards. A skinny, that's what's implemented in our mind as beautiful. So when we see someone thicker, we automatically want to cancel them out. But if we look at it, the proportions are right. The outfit's sickening. It's all lined. It's gorgeous. It's well made. I don't think there's any, I mean, then again, the crown, the coffee, it was fine.
I have to, this is a chirp. The hair is nice. The makeup's not. Everything's nice. She keeps shutting me up. It's nice, and it feels special. So many of the looks, like I said, feel like a girl in a world. This feels special. It's a chirp.
Yeah, it's a chirpy chirp.
Geneva Carr, who had a lot of drama in that workroom trying to make a look, and then she started over, and everyone's wearing the same color blue. What'd you think?
This could have been good. There was so much potential here. It was very close. Like, she had those big paillettes. She could have made something so sickening with those paillettes. Like, they're just, it's hard to find giant paillettes like that. Even downtown, they like as big as that. And like, I think RuPaul wore a dress in a couple episodes ago that were these giant paillettes, and it was just so gorgeous. And I think it was just too many ideas in one. Mm-hmm. As she toned it down and maybe just stuck to one or two fabrics, it could have been a moment.
Yeah, they clocked her for the different blues and
I don't think the piece in the front, the ruffle in the front helped her.
Right. It looks a little, it looks like it forgot to take Viagra. It looks a little, little limp.
She needs some hymns. Yeah.
That's hymns.com/drag her. It's not ugly though. It's not. You know what I mean? Her booty's cute. Her face is cute.
We saw this with her last design challenge too, where like it was she almost could have had something, but it was a miss, you know? So
I'm gonna burp it.
Yeah.
Dawn Galactic Empress changing her makeup. What'd you think?
I liked it. I don't even realize that she changed her makeup. I'm just like, they make such a big deal about that stuff, but she's so talented. Her artistry with makeup is just so great that, like, I don't know, she's great. So it's still her. Like, even though her skin tones change, it's still her. So I love that. I thought this outfit was cool. I just hated all the seams in the front. That's my own design nitpicky thing. Like, all the seams on the front of the dress, I wish it was just like a clean skirt, but you don't get a lot of fabric sometimes to make, so she had to make it work. And I thought she looked cool. I didn't mind this look at all.
I thought it was really cool too.
Yeah, I don't think it was like
perfection.
It wasn't perfection, but I like that, like, look what she's capable of. I see the potential of this being, like, you know, from real designer had their hands on it, it'd be sickening. But I thought she did great. It looks great.
It does look great. I couldn't help but notice that the doll's shoulders, like, I almost liked the way it looked on the doll's shoulders better than hers. Like, the way that it had, like, this, like, definitive blue shoulder. I kind of loved that on the doll.
I didn't even notice that. Work.
Whatever. It's good. It's hard to do that. I'm sure.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the doll has this definitive shoulder. I was like, oh, that looks good. And then I couldn't help but then compare it to her shoulder and go, oh, it's a little different. It's a chirp. It's interesting. Yeah,
it's a chirp. I don't think it's finished at the... I don't think there's a hem on the bottom of that dress either, but there you go. They pick and choose.
I know. When they turned around and they were like, oh, work. I was like, law. Yeah. Are you serious?
Even the face kini portion, like, that wasn't hemmed. So that was the first thing I noticed. So there's like, you know, they pick
Dare
and choose.
Dare I say...
But the outfit was great.
I would put some hair, even sometimes like under... I like it when you put hair underneath, even if it's just for some poke outs.
Yeah, a little pussycat wig.
Something to, cause so it's not just so like my head is wearing a condom.
Yeah, sometimes you need a little poof to help the proportions too.
Diva, you get it.
A condom?
I don't, well, what are those?
No, we're on Hims, we're on Prep, we're fine.
We're fine. Yeah, until Trojan wants to sponsor the pod again, then I'll rave about condoms, but it's been a while.
Rave for our pleasure.
they're going through some hard times in the gay community. Q, Fantasy Edition, giving Demogorgon goes to Fashion Week. What'd you think?
Oh, she ate this. It was so sickening. Because that's the thing, right? You look at this and you're like, how did Q have enough time? Q had enough Q had the same amount of time as Maya, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Q was able to make this and Maya made that, it's like, girl,
yeah,
you know, it's just crazy to me. So
yes,
it's sickening. And the glitter was such a nice touch. It was like, oh, wow, wow. It just kept getting better and better. I don't like her
gorgeous eyebrows. I didn't like the... I was weird about the wire wings. I don't know if I was sold on the wire wings. What do you talk to me? Did you like the wire wings?
Oh, I didn't realize they were wings. I just thought it was like funky, interesting things. I didn't realize it was wings. So the fact that you say wings makes me not like it as much. I thought it was just like interesting, like Technic wire, like electric, like energy coming out of her or something.
Got it.
But now that you say wings, I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't really give. But it's fine. I didn't mind it.
It's still really, 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 really good. And I mean, it's like unique. And especially when you see her standing next to the other girls, you're like, oh, she had a point of view. And some of these girls look like girls.
That headpiece is sickening. It just
really gorgeous.
Chirp,
really
chirp,
gorgeous.
Chirp.
She wanted to win. Well, here we are in critiques. La Roche continues to be a funny little bitch. And Plasma is finally painting her lips bigger. Maya gets points for having sweaty titties.
That was so random.
That was so fucking random.
It was. You know what it was giving me low key was like La Roche was looking out for her black girl, like, which I kind of live for. So he's like, oh, let me come up with anything. Bitch, you make me want to be a lesbian. Like, it was giving homegirl. It was giving like sisterhood, you know? So like, I feel like sometimes, I don't know, I felt that.
I think you're 100% on the money. That's what it was giving.
It was like trying to find something good about it.
Yeah, because she was like, look, she's been getting red up here. Let me
And
just...
sometimes, you know, because I don't think they tell, I definitely feel in my heart and soul, they kind of tell Michelle and sometimes the revolving judge, like the Carson, the Ross, and the Madison, I feel like they kind of tell them where to lean into and where not to lean into. Just from my experience being there, they also don't show you all the critiques. Like everyone has their own time to speak. Every judge talks for like, you know, a minute up to 5 minutes. So we're only getting like a 30-second snippet. So there's a lot that gets cut out, but I don't believe they tell the guest judge how to respond. That's why the guest judge sometimes goes against what Michelle says. Sometimes they go against the narratives that's being pushed on us. So I always respect when the guest judges speak because they're not being told how to judge. They're just judging from their heart. And sometimes they're having a point of view, like from the audience's point of view, where it's just fresh. They're watching it for the, you know, without any bias or anything. So the fact I could probably sense that maybe that Law maybe felt the judges were like coming for Maya because she was probably going to always be in the bottom for this. So she was probably like, let me come up with some stupid thing to give her a nice little moment to my sister, you know,
Damn.
Was giving them. And that's just like a deeper sense that I have. Sorry, I went on a little rant.
No, bitch, that's why I want you here. That was knowledge. Look, as a bona fide lip sync assassin, what did you think watching this Janet Jackson lip sync with Geneva Carr v. Maya Iman Lepage?
I don't know how long Geneva's been doing drag, but the way she performed is very baby drag to me because it's like, I'm just going to whip this out just because I'm going to do da-da-da-da, ka-ka-ka-ka, papa split, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. There's like... I don't know if you ever watched Raven perform. Have you ever seen Raven perform?
Yes.
There's something about her where she can just stand there and she's just so stunning and she just stands there and lip syncs the song. And it's like, we're so enthralled by her because I don't know if it's her beauty or her power. It's her presence. It's just so powerful. There's this like calm and stillness that you have when you know you're that bitch. So sometimes I feel like as time goes on, when Geneva, like, you know, gets a little more experience or whatever, I don't know how long she's been doing drag, but like there's a stillness that you have that like allows you to take control. And then we start to trust you. So when you do a little trick or something, it's like, oh, my God, sickening. So I feel like that's something that falls short for Geneva. She does the most just to try to be like, look at me. But it doesn't work. So Geneva is a chop for me. I think she probably could have gone home a couple episodes ago, to be honest.
I kind of agree with you, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
I called
her. She's been
hanging
on by a thread.
Lucky assassin. Quite the lucky assassin, I'll say.
No, I wouldn't even call her an assassin, to be quite honest. I think that's giving her too much credit. Because like with Mirage, it was the technicality. I still think Mirage ate her up, even though she didn't know the words. You know what I mean? So like,
I know.
Pobrecita, but it is what it is. I think Maya had that breastplate on and she had that wig, which kept her from really going full out. But I like that we got a little bit of what she has to show. But I know next time she's going to probably really get it without the breastplate and the hair, because she's doing all these flips and that shit is heavy. So I can tell she's struggling to keep it on.
But she impressed me because she was in the lip sync. She was flipping. She was hitting the word during it. She was picking her body right up onto her heels. I was very impressed. It was what I was hoping. And the hair ties, hair tying her own shoulder wings back. I love that the judges lived and I lived too.
Yeah, it was getting very much like the girls in the streets about to fight. Like, let me put my
hands
up. It was very that.
It was a pro move. It was a badass move. Yeah. Geneva Carr drives herself home. Goodbye, Geneva. Porque RuPaul.
That was hilarious. But also, I think Bob the Drag Queen said, I forgot who said it, but they're like, who comes with their exit line prepared? But obviously you're not here to win, girl, if you already have your exit line prepared.
I know. You know?
Like, I never had my exit line prepared because I never planned on going home. So like, whatever came out is what came out in the moment.
I remember you saying something. I wish I remember what you said, because I remember it being very funny. I don't remember
when
what
I was
said.
I had a feeling they were gonna send me home, because you kind of already know, like, at the top of the day who they plan on wanting to go home. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. So I had a feeling. So I told the girls on the bus, I was like, y'all, if I go home for whatever reason, I'm going to sing this song and I want you guys to sing along with me. Because I sang, it's titties, my titties, not your titties. So I sang that little song on my way out.
Yeah.
And the girls sang along with me. And then I was like, the titties are coming. I don't know. It was just stupid. So I didn't have anything planned to say on the way out.
You also won that lip sync, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
Okay, I have one more kind of serious question before we go. I hate to kind of bring it down, but I do have kind of a serious question I want to ask you.
Okay.
Will you eat my ass faggot?
I would love to eat your ass faggot. I would love to.
Thank you, Selena. Okay,
tell me when.
Okay, cool. Let me get in the kitchen and cook some ass up.
Good, I'm hungry.
Selena, remind us where we can come support you, throw you coins, when Boots is dropping, all of it.
This is out on Monday. Okay, so this Friday, my single music video, Boots, comes out. And then my EP, Homegirl, comes out in March. You guys can watch me on Titter Quit on my YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe. It's my little review show. Finding who's going to win the Golden Boot this season. I also will be at Heart in West Hollywood, if you guys are in town, with Willow Hill on the 23rd for the viewing party at Heart We Host. So come out to that. And just buy my merch on stitties.com/shop. Go buy some merch. Some cute. I have the cutest merch. And I have merch for Boots coming out as well on Friday.
Love.
So that'll be exciting. Get into it.
Work. And if you like this podcast, follow us at Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. Click, click, clack. It's the only one that I've heard about. And if you like Drag Race, then you'll like this podcast. And so go follow us on Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it on the pod. Like this really obscure one from It's Davey. It says, thanks, Grandpa Seth. Regard, it's drag her spelled backwards. This is Mono's kingdom. Now, if you watched the movie Troll 2, you know that this is a genius, crazy, and absolutely malicious faggotry quote that is for me. So thank you, it's Davey. Thank you so much. Selena, thank you so much for doing our podcast. We love you.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. Thanks for always like taking care of me and like rooting for me.
Of course.
During my season, it meant so much. Like y'all would post it or people would tag you guys and tag me. And I would just be like, oh, people who like understand. So thank you so much. It really,
love
really
you.
Is. It like,
I love you.
It, like, fuels my soul.
Let's kiki in real life. Let's go have a dumb drink at Precinct.
Well, I gotta eat your ass now, so.
Oh,
well.
Okay, that's right. Okay, wait, let's do that and then have a drink, because I'm not trying to.
We want the ass to be fresh. We don't want it to be sitting around.
Till next time, let the music play.
Was a HeadGum original.